So anybody tell me how many days till Christmas? How many days? 13. Oh, the women know. So have you finished your Christmas shopping? Guys, you don't have to bother talking, answering, I understand. I usually start my Christmas shopping quite early, usually 12th to 15th of December. This year, miraculously, I don't know what came over me. I was finished before the third week of November. So if I end up in a psychiatric hospital, you know what the problem, where it started. Something's wrong. One year, Sandra got a beautiful gift, really beautiful snowsuit, one piece when they were in style. And the reason for that was that I started my Christmas shopping at 4 o'clock p.m. on the 24th of December. And you know, there's not a lot left. So that's how sometimes you get a memorable gift, women, from your husbands, because there was nothing else left. So we've all received lots of gifts. I want you to think, what's a memorable gift you received? Maybe it wasn't at Christmas, but maybe it was. Can you think about a memorable gift you received? Sometimes there's something big, you know, maybe a parent or a spouse gave you a car. Maybe it's your first doll or teddy bear you remember. No, they didn't give me a car either. It can be big, it can be small. You know, for me, I have two that come to mind. 15, and my parents gave me my first pair of skis and boots. And those of you who know me realizing skiing is still a huge part of our life, Sandra and I, and that was memorable. But about the same time, about 50 years ago, I got given this. And it's memorable. This is a Fisher Space Pen. It's the pens that the astronauts, Americans, Canadians a lot use, pressurized refill, which means it writes normally, but it'll also write upside down and sideways. And if you try to write on walls and you run out of ink, you'll understand that never happens with these pens. And if your paper is greasy, you just keep writing. And so it's memorable. And 50 years later, I still have that pen. So it's one of my most memorable pens, but one of the smallest gifts I've received. So what's a memorable gift? I'm going to ask you to do something hard. I want you to say to somebody who's near you, tell them what you, just take a minute, tell them what's something that sticks in your mind as a gift that you received that you remember. Find somebody ahead, behind, tell them. Tell them about a memorable gift. So memorable gifts, they stick in our heads. Like my pen or my skis, they stick in our heads. And they're, you know, memories are attached to them and we remember them. But the one thing about that gift, somebody loved you and they gave you that gift. And what did you do? You received it. You had to unwrap it. You took that gift that somebody offered to you. So now we come to Christmas, to Advent, to joy. And I started thinking about what is the one thing, if I want to remember Christmas, what one thought comes to my mind about Christmas? What's my memorable thought to begin with? What's the true meaning of Christmas? What is it? Is there something that sums it up for you? For me, I found one. You know, and when I think about all that gets wrapped up in Christmas, buying and giving and finding food and cooking food and decorating the tree and getting all the stuff out and friends and family, and even as Christians, sometimes the nugget gets lost. For me, the nugget is really simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the nugget. When I thought about it a couple weeks ago, That's Christmas for me. That's what it's about. It's that gift, the most incredible gift, the single most memorable gift. Jesus coming to earth to be a sacrifice for my sins so I could have relationship with God again and become a child of God. Think about that. It says you were born again into God's family. You are a child of God if you've received that gift. Child of God and everything that comes with it. But you had to do something, right? God offered it. You had to take it and unwrap it, that gift. Just like that memorable gift that somebody gave to you long ago or maybe recently. They loved you. They gave you that gift. You took it. You accepted it. Same thing with God's gift. He offers it to everybody. We just have to take it and unwrap it. Accept it. So I started thinking about the gift. And at Christmas time, lots of gifts are surprises. You get something and you say, wow, I never expected somebody to do that. Give me that. It was a surprise. Well, there's a surprising thing about the gift of Jesus. The surprise was, it was a surprise. You know, all through the Old Testament, it's prophesied, he's coming, talks about what's going to happen. Messiah's coming, says where he's going to be born. Anybody remember who were the only ones who realized that Jesus had been born besides Mary and Joseph? Who knew about it? The shepherds. And how did they know? Just because the angels told them and started singing and doing whatever they did, the heavenly host, and they went and worshiped. Somehow this happened just a short distance away from Jerusalem in Bethlehem, and nobody knew about it. Surprise! How did they find out? Months, maybe a year or more later, how did they find out? Remember the Magi? They showed up. That was the only way anybody found it. So I'd like to read, so we need my next thing. There we go. Matthew. I want to read that. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for that is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So when they finally showed up, then the people understood something's happened. And Magi went. Of course, you all know what Herod tried to do. He tried to kill the Messiah. Great thing. But it was a surprise to everybody, and it shouldn't have been. Talk about a great reception for the most incredible event. Another thing to remember is what Pastor Dave, you said it, I guess so. You're only one speaking this morning, but 30 years of hidden, or was that, you said that, didn't you, into joy. 30 years hidden. We didn't see anything about Jesus. No, it was in this, the reading, that's what it was. The reading, 30 years hidden. For 30 years, nobody saw him. Nobody realized. 30 years of life. And that is God's miraculous protecting the Messiah from public eyes until ministry time was ready. God can reveal, but he can also hide things. The other thing to remember about Jesus, and this is nothing you don't know, but you know, you would have expected that the Savior of the world was going to be born into a nice palace, right? Fancy wrapping paper, rich family, lots of good friends with money to help. None of that. A poor carpenter and his wife up in Bethlehem visiting because of the census, they had to go. Had to be in the part of the house that had the animals because there weren't enough beds left. Not the reception you'd expect. So the Savior of the world, we sang Joy to the World, came, not received. People didn't know he was there. No fancy pomp, except for the angel host. That was pretty fancy. It's heavenly host singing in the sky, but only the shepherds saw that. And this is the one bringing God's incredible gift to us. That gift, remember, that can be the most memorable gift of our lives if we receive it. Of course, the big thing is that what we're given. And here's the next scripture passage I'd like to receive or like to read. It's Ephesians chapter 2. So there we go. This is a real Christmassy one. You'll love this. But it's the intent of what Christmas is. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's Satan's power. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God offers this incredible gift. You all know about it. You hear about it all the time. But outside the doors of this auditorium, there are an awful lot of people who think, if I can be good enough, God will accept me. They think, if I can do enough good works, God will accept me. Your neighbors, your friends, that's what they're thinking. But this passage says it's only by the gift that I can become a child of God. I can't become a child of God by being how good. I can't become a child of God by doing good. And it really explains it. It says, you were dead, spiritually dead, because of things you did that disobeyed God. If somebody's dead, what can they do? Nothing. Dead people don't do things. And if you're spiritually dead, which is what all of us were before we asked Christ into our lives to be our Savior and become a child of God, there is nothing we can do to earn God's favor. It doesn't count because we're spiritually dead. None of it. It's only when we receive that gift. It says, by grace. The easy way I remember what grace means, it's unmerited favor. It's God's unmerited favor. And there's lots of people who think that they can just be good enough to get to heaven. It's their reward. But it's a gift, not a reward. I'm going to read these three verses again near the end here, verses 8, 9, and 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not from yourselves, the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The good works are there. Did you notice the good works? When do they come? After the salvation, after I become a child of God, after I become spiritually alive, then in love for my Lord, I can do it. In love for my Lord, as a child of God, I can say to my neighbors, it's Christmas time, and I'm celebrating that God gave the most incredible gift of all, Jesus. That's a good work. But the thing is the gift. It's a gift. It's offered to everybody, but how many receive it? Just as you accepted your most memorable gift from somebody who loved you, I think you all understand. We have to receive that memorable gift that God offers us so that we can become a child of God. Because remember, the person who offered you that gift, they did it because they cared about you. They loved you. It was a memorable gift. It was something that was important to you, and so they went out of their way to get that for you. And that first verse I quoted, for God so loved the world, that's why he did this, so that we could become his child, because of his love. So think about that precious Christmas gift offered by God to become a child of God. And I was sitting the other day thinking about that, when it suddenly dawned on me, it's so easy to say I'm a child of God. And then my mind started to go in circles and up and down like it does sometimes. I thought, Gary, what did you just say? God, the creator, the one who made everything that exists, the one who holds it all together, that's who gave you this gift. And you now call him your heavenly father. I'm a child. I get goosebumps now. I'm adopted into the family, born again into the family of that eternal God because he sent Jesus. Knowing that I was disobedient, I was not going to heaven, I had no relationship with him, and he did that because he loved me, and all I have to do is take it and receive that gift, and I become a child of God. And the more I thought it, the more overwhelmed I got. Just thinking about what it means to be a child of God. Just because, like my memorable gift, my pen, my parents gave it to me because they love me. God has given me this gift because he loves me, and it's far more memorable than anything I could ever have. Another verse I like, besides John chapter 3, verse 16, is 1 John, or I should say Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. And it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's our right. God says, you can be my child. It's yours if you want to take it. So, of course, always the big question I ask people when you get to this point is, have you opened the gift? Or you just left it sitting? I would never have had my pen or my skis if I hadn't accepted the gift and received them. So, what I'm saying today is not so much for most of you. It's the stuff I'd really like you to say to your friends and neighbors who haven't taken the gift. That this Christmas, you'd be willing to say to them, you know, we don't often talk about it, but it's Christmas, and I want to tell you what this really means to me. You don't have to preach at them. But just say, you know, this is a special time of year for me when I remember that Jesus gave himself for me and I've received him into my life. And when they look at you and say, yeah, I live a good life. I live a good life and I do good stuff. And you can say, well, you're better than me because I don't think I live a very good life and I'm sure I don't do enough good to get there. But Jesus did it for me. Anybody know, I think I've figured out in life the number one thing that stops your friends and your neighbors from receiving Jesus as their Savior? Do you know what it is, the one quality in our life? It's something that little children don't have, and so they receive it, Christ, more readily. I want to be able to show God how good I am so that he has to take me. Pride. But little children are humble and they're more readily receive Jesus, even older children. And it's pride that gets in our way in just about everything in Christian life. So I'm getting close to the end. Don't get too upset. We're almost done. What comes with the gift? Dave talked about joy. Joy comes with a gift. So, I become God's child. That means I've been forgiven for the fact that I don't do the things that God would like me to do, and so that separates me, breaks our relationship. And Jesus died on the cross, rose again, and if I receive that gift of his sacrifice, I can be a child of God. I'm forgiven. Well, that counts for eternity. But for here, the things that matter to me is I have a relationship with God because he's my Father. And you remember Matt's sermon, Pastor Matt's sermon in November? Prayer, we can talk with God. That's a big thing. He hears us. And hope. I know it's going to happen to me when I die. And joy, which we've just talked about, and peace. And to me, I'll tell you, being a child of God, the biggest one for me is peace. So I'm looking at somebody in the front row who's from an area which just got devastated by, they said, 100 tornadoes, some of the most massive destruction. You've got family there. That's not very peaceful if you're down here and they're down there. But we can have peace in our life. We can commit it. We can talk to our Heavenly Father because we're his child. We can do what we did this morning and pray. Everybody's got trauma in life, but we can have peace. You know, people look at a pastor or a missionary and say, yeah, your life is easy. I grew up with an alcoholic father, but I also received Jesus as a child, and I had that peace. At about 19, I had a horrible skiing accident. Almost broke my back and neck. Ended up with two vertebrae up high, fused together, and two below, because my spine snapped, and when it snapped back, it fused them. And I went through periods of time where I walked like this. I went through periods of time when I could go mountain climbing, and then I'd be back shuffling again, and yet I could have peace. That's not what life is all about. Just in case you're wondering, I did get healed. God miraculously healed me in an instant, and for which I am forever grateful. Sandra and I were in the mission field. We left with a one-month-old and a two-year-old. And it quickly became apparent that the one-month-old, something was wrong. And at age 18 months, she weighed about just a little over 8 kilos, 8.5 kilos. So we were scheduled to go back to Canada to speak in some churches, and she was in the doctor's, then the specialist, and then the hospital. And Christy, of course, many of you have met her. She has cystic fibrosis. The doctor said to us, the median life expectancy, the average life expectancy is 16 years. How do you like to get told that as a parent? But there's peace because we're God's child. Praise God, Christy's married and in her 30s and got two brand new lungs from somebody, and God has been very gracious to us. Trauma. 9 years ago, next weekend, I almost lost this leg from there down. I can remember lying in bed in the hospital, hooked up to all sorts of stuff, and them explaining to me that I was going to lose my leg because they didn't think there's any way to save it. And I remember lying in bed, and I really do, because, you know, this is kind of traumatic, thinking, okay, Lord, I'm going to lose my leg. You know, the most incredible peace overwhelmed me. And the Lord said, so? You can still do the things you did before. You'll be a little slower, maybe, and not so rambunctious. I'm with you. And I fell asleep right away. There's so much that comes with being a child of God that we never, ever think about. And for me, yes, eternity's coming in heaven with Jesus, but here and now, the peace and joy. No matter what happens in life, and life is traumatic, that's the thing that means the most to me right now, to be God's child. So most of you here in this room, maybe every one of you, has asked Jesus into your life to be your Savior and you're a child of God. I just ask this Christmas, you think about that. In all this hustle and bustle and stuff going on, just take some time and think about it. Slow down and just thank the Lord that He's let you be His child. Just thank the Lord. And if there is anybody here, and I don't know if there is, who has never made that decision, just remember, this is a gift. It's like that most memorable gift that somebody gave you. You had to receive it. This gift from God, you got to receive. And it's simple to do so. You say, Jesus, I understand I don't live the way God wants me to live. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I've disobeyed you. Forgive me. And come into my life as my Savior. I want to be yours. I want to be God's child. And that simple prayer, you just, you know, silently say that, and you can make this the absolute most memorable Christmas you've ever had in your life. God's child. All that comes with that. Just think on that this year. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for the privilege you gave me and everyone who receives you to be your child. I want to thank you for the peace and the joy you want to bring into our life in the midst of trials and whatever happens. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you, Father, that you do give us opportunity to share with our friends and our family and our neighbors and just say a word here or there to let them know that we know you. Use us all, Heavenly Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.